We're also an hour earlier because here because our clocks have gone back an hour. Yours don't go back until the next hour, so next week, do they? So anyway, there we go. Okay, so anyone want to kick off with something today?
I'd like to know what lie busting is.
Lie busting, okay, yeah. Well, lie busting is a ministry that has been established here in the UK. A friend of mine has sort of set up lie busting as a way of being able to minister to people, to help people become free of the blockages that stop them engaging with God, eyes basically in their life. And it's a very much a Holy Spirit-led way of ministering to people. We as a church were the first people who did the Lie Busters training. We did that online using Google Hangouts. And now there have been a Lie Busters group set up all over the world. So I think there was a beta group that ran with 220 odd people, and now there are groups set up to minister to people. So there's training in how to lie bust people, and then people are then authorized to lie bust online as well as locally with people. Essentially, what it does, it's like asking God, what do you want to do? And then following a procedure in which the person hears God, whether it be a thoughts in their mind or whether it be pictures or visions or different ways, and really it's looking to be okay, what do you want to do? And then asking the specific questions, is this something that's in my life? Is it in my generational line's life? Then you ask what generation, if it was a generational issue, what was the issue? And then you help the person see what are the lies that they've received in their own life that are affecting them today, and therefore, how do they then, if they were free from those lies, what would it be like? And then you work the person through the process. Ultimately, there's also looking at whether there's any demonic influence and asking God to show whether there's any demonic things there, and then dealing with that in the process. And also, one of the major things it does is looks to reintegrate people. So where people have got stuck in their lives, maybe emotionally or because of a trauma or because of certain things that have happened to them, then you ask God to show the person, is there any areas that the person is stuck and what years? And for some people that might be 1 or 2 years or some more, depending on the lie bust. And then you look to help that person deal with why they were stuck. And some of these things, can be quite mild, but some I know it deals with quite severe satanic ritual abuse type dissociation disorders, different ways. So it's a fairly, we found it a really good tool because it's all about helping the person hear God for themselves. The lie buster doesn't need to be a trained counselor or have a whole load of information themselves. They just help the person to hear God by asking the right questions and helping them through the process so that that person at the end of the day can then have an engagement with God, and the blockages that open stop people engage in heaven and different things get removed. And so it fitted in really well with our whole ethos and philosophy. And I know people who do sozo and different things. This is a simpler process in a sense, and it can be done in an hour, and it can be done online. And there have been those people who have been in Bethel, who've been there a number of years, who have embraced lie busting. And I think Jen Johnson herself has been lie busted, and her husband, and really saw how effective it was in getting to the root issues, because God deals with it. God shows you, and then God shows you all the way through the process. So that's really what lie busting is. It goes along really well with, engaging God in spiritual dynamics, because it removes blockages that stop you hearing, seeing, and engaging.
Okay, I thought it was something like that. I heard that term several times as I watched some of your other videos, and
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, that was it. Yeah. Okay.
I was able to purchase the book. It wasn't very much money. I think it was $7 or $9. And it gave a really good rendering of the whole process. It doesn't enter you into the process, but it kind of describes what you're going to be engaging in, and I found it really helpful. Kind of answered most of my questions.
It's a good little book, but the key is you can be lie busted without having been trained to lie bust others. So it's an opportunity for receiving ministry from those who've been trained, and there are lie buster pros who have gone through a training process and have a certificate because they've lie busted a certain number of people and they've been lie busted themselves a number of times. Or you can join in with the different training groups. There's ongoing training that goes on. In actual fact, we have Jonathan Cavan, who's the guy who sort of started the whole ministry, actually with us tonight. We've got a meal with him. So all our leadership team. He's down here for a few days because we've sort of made quite good friendship with him, and it's certainly something that God is using all over the world as an accelerated tool, really, to really deal with some of those issues quickly, so that people can really move into engagements with God if there are blockages in some of the in their areas of their lives, really. Any other questions, things you want to ask?
I had an encounter with the flaming sword, and which was really interesting when back when I was at the conference when Ian was there, he spoke about a pathway with the flaming sword, and so I went to have a look, and it was there, and it wouldn't, and I couldn't get past that point, and he talked about that a little bit, and I kind of took the thing personally as kind of a challenge because I haven't found that many places that I wasn't able to get past, and he was right. The thing wouldn't let me pass. He wouldn't let me by, and anyway, I kind of worked at it for a little bit and was able to, gain access beyond that point. But is there anything you could say about that?
Obviously the flaming sword itself is that which represents what guarded the pathway, after Eden and the garden being closed, to Eden, and Adam and Eve being expelled from that realm and being able to access that realm. It said that there were cherubim and the fiery sword. That was essentially there to, I think people think, oh, to stop people going in, but in reality it was to allow people to go in, but you have to obviously engage in a particular way to be able to access into the pathway that goes to eternity. I think there are a number of different probably experiences that people may have that are related to this, but they don't necessarily call it the fiery sword. In my own life, I guess I've experienced several encounters with the fire of God, that have prepared me to go deeper. I can't say that I personally encountered it as a fiery sword myself, but I have gone beyond where the experience of engaging the fire of God and the transformation that takes place, and the level of dealing with my own personal life took me. And so I have experienced some of that in, well, I guess 3 or 4 different places. I think I've experienced the fiery pillar of God within the judgment seat, which dealt with my scroll and the sort of wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, things in my life, which was a pretty intense encounter that definitely took me forward into understanding and engaging in different realms of heaven. I engaged with the fire stones on the river of fire, And again, that was a a pretty intense encounter, which went deeper into my life. And I went through a period where I was in darkness, where over a 4 month period, I engaged in the dark cloud, and that to me was it was illustrated on my scroll as a flame, an eternal flame that I needed to engage in. And what I saw it was on my scroll, my whole life led up to that point, and then afterwards my whole life would be different going forward from that point, having experienced the fire of God. And so I think, whether it's the same encounter for everybody or just way God takes us to that point of the fire of God. I mean, subsequently to that, I've engaged in the temple and the fiery altar there and seen my heart engaged with the altar of fire. So there have been lots of fiery experiences. In a sense, it's looking to enable us to be able to access the realm of eternity, but come back and not stay there, I think. And the level of change and transformation that needs to take place with that fiery sword. I mean, that Jesus said that he was coming to bring a sword. And there's a judgment, I think, that takes place, that you allow the judgment of God, which I guess was what the judgment seat was for me, to judge your life, and a willingness to embrace that judgment in fire so that we can go further from a place of being purified and refined and our scroll accessed in a different way. That's how it worked for me. I mean, what did you do? What did you do to engage and go past that?
I think I had a desire to get past it because it wouldn't let me. I couldn't pass it. I just popped in at the conference and it was like, yes, it was there. No, it wasn't going to let me go by, just like he said. And I revisited it a few more times to make sure that I couldn't get by the thing. And I kind of entered into a place, and I don't know that I even associated it with that, but I asked the Lord, what do I need to do in order to gain access here? And I seemed to undergo another, process of just personal, just death to some of myself and some of my stuff. And I had one day I was almost laid out in bed, and I was laying there, and I've experienced this before, and I'm like, I'm dead. And I couldn't really move, but I could have if I needed to, but I knew that I was engaged in another stage of the process. And the next day I still didn't feel the release, but later that night I did, and I was in the I guess it was the bridal chamber, and I kind of crawled back through the door and managed to crawl up on the bed, and the Lord's there, and I'm kind of I thought, Now I can go. And so I popped over there to the sword, and then I thought, well, I need to go ask him if I can, for a scroll. And so I popped back in and got my paperwork from him, and I went back to the sword, and sure enough, I was able to get past. I was able to go. They let me pass. But he wouldn't let me go in that night, and I'm trying to talk the angel into taking me in and showing me around or something, and he's just sort of pointing over there, and I can't even see what there is. And the next day, they took me into one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen, and it was all light with columns of light, and it was really... really quite something. So there's a whole bunch there that I haven't really been able to explore very extensively at all, but it seems like it's pretty significant
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I think my first real encounter with that was when I was on my fast, and literally I just burnt for like 21 days. Just my bones was on fire. I mean, it was just literally burnt. I mean, and I knew I was in a process that I wanted to engage God, so I knew there was a significance about it, but I didn't. Yeah. I never felt anything like that. And it wasn't something, I mean, I repented of everything I could, you know, I was trying to enter into the process, but it was just like the fire of God seemed to be burning within my bones. Just, yeah. You know, everything was on fire except my head, you know, it's just like, my head was fine, it was cool, but it's like, I mean, it was like, particularly at night, it was just in the night watch, it was just an intense burning. And so I guess some of that was my willingness to surrender. And my willingness to embrace the process, but I would say that that was initiation into it that probably opened up this realm to forerun into it, I guess. And I've then had, you know, those three or four other experiences subsequently that have engaged in a deeper level, and each one has taken me into a deeper level of connection. I think probably the Firestones did more in terms of revelation and engagement in my spirit into who I am and my position of government and different things. You know, the judgment seat really dealt with the emotions of, you know, the regret and the sort of the loss and the things that you realize of all the stuff you sort of did in the wrong, out of the wrong motive and things. So that was a purification, so that the enemy had no access to sort of almost use those things as a blockage, but the Firestones for me and the River of Fire have definitely been the place where there's been the most, the depth of revelation. And as I've gone back there, I've gone deeper and deeper and deeper into it, deeper levels of experience and then understanding, and then just my spirit understanding, but my soul having no clue. You know, it's like the last couple of times I've been there, my soul has just been unable to connect at all, but my spirit just embraced at a level, a deeper level, which, you know, is still coming out, and my soul is catching up with a lot of that stuff. But they're all sort of significant sort of places that it just takes us further and deeper into dimensions of God and where we really are and where we need to get to. You know, I mean, I think going back into the heart of God was also a place of, I wouldn't call it exactly fire, but it was certainly intense light and intense thought and intense incubation, I guess, sort of where the thoughts of God about me are, and, you know, the vast sum of thoughts, and engaging there has been, again, a pretty intense place. Intense for my soul, really. You know, I just can't cope with the level of, you know, revelation that my spirit is engaging in at that point. But later on, it does begin to catch up as the spirit starts to release and embrace it, and things begin to cognitively become more aware of things. But certainly a process that you can't do without. At the end of the day, you know, if you want to engage in the fullness of who we are, then we have to be able to get into that place of eternity and go beyond the realm of just engaging the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You know, we've got to go back, go into heaven of heavens and perfection and eternity. And I think some of those experiences are the things that take us there. You know, it's like when you sort of describe, I've never seen anything like it, or, you know, when I've engaged in some of those realms, it's been like that. It's almost like the atmosphere is different. You breathe a different atmosphere. Something is different, going up above and beyond into where God's dwelling is, rather than where his presence is down in the other, in the thing is different. I mean, I guess going through the dark cloud and going into the person of God was like that, to actually look into his faith, looking to a facet of him anyway, as much as I could manage. But again, very intense experiences which have almost springboarded me or been stepping stones to going deeper and higher and different things, really. And I don't know whether everyone goes through the same things exactly, but I think there will be seasons and things that God takes people through to prepare them and take them into who they are and their destiny so that they can engage, really. Maybe different for each person, but the basic thing will be the same, an intense encounter that transforms us and takes us, you know, to give us access into something more in God. So, yeah, pretty interesting, these things.
It's been interesting for me how unique I process everything, because I've been a dreamer and visions since I was a kid. And so the last month, I listen to you and your videos all the time. I listen to our pastor, just listening to Ian Clayton. But then when I sleep at night, it really processes and goes to a whole new dimension. So my dreams have really changed. What is different is I've noticed intercessory prayer all of a sudden. I've never had that before, and I'm in a dream, and I'm quite aware. I go, this is, something's different here. And so I'm interceding during that. And I had the chance to meet this lady, and that was during a vision. I was meditating, and this lady kind of popped up before me, and I realized that she was unique. Something was set apart about her. And so I asked who she was, and I realized that it was my mentor's nanny. And the interesting part is, like you were saying, the cloud of witnesses, she's invested in my mentor, who is invested in me. And this lady passed away, gosh, I want to say 40 years ago. I've never met the lady. I just know of her. And so I got to meet her, but because I can engage like you do in setting a destination before me and aim for that. But I realize that the biggest changes is where I process everything is in my dreams, and it works out. Oh, and then the next thing that's happening is, if you're familiar with deja vu, where you've dreamt something and then it all of a sudden it's becoming very real, it's unveiling itself right before you. But what's happening is I'm standing somewhere and I have this sensation of a deja vu, but yet everything is different. But I mean, it is very intense, and so I can't quite figure out what is going on with that moment. Because I'm like walking across the street and I'm having this extreme experience, but it feels like a deja vu, but I'm not seeing any of that. So that part, I'm still learning. I don't quite get it. I think it's another way of interceding, but it being in this group is like being at a candy store. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to. There's so many places and so many things I want to do, and it's almost schizophrenic because I can't get everything. I couldn't go to work. If I wanted to do everything I wanted to do, I would never be at work. Because engaging heaven and doing all these amazing things just is occupies so much of my time that I want to. I'd much rather be here and doing this than going to work. But I must go to work. But that's kind of what's been happening is my uniqueness is dreams and visions, And boy, those have really flipped, changed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what it sounds as if it's like we have to be able to live in dual realms, so that our spirit is operating in the realm of heaven, connected to the soul, so that the soul can be consciously connected to the revelation that's flowing out of heaven, and we therefore minister out of where we are in heaven all the time. And so we're learning to engage these realms so that we will be able to access them while we are working, while we're doing other things, because our spirit is there. You know, it's like Jesus saying, you know, to Nicodemus, you know, I'm standing before you basically, but I'm also in heaven. You know, it's like, you know, and that's what we need to be able to get to, where we are constantly connected and able to facilitate the kingdom manifesting through us as a gateway of that, while we are administrating beyond the veil into those things. And I would see that probably some of your experiences are forerunners of that, in that that's where at night, you know, in the night watch, you know, learning to have our body asleep but our spirit and soul awake. At the moment, it's like your spirit is engaging there, but only accessing your soul through dreams rather than actually your soul being totally awake. But it's the next step. So it's showing you, hey, there is a place where your spirit can go and engage in the realm of heaven, and your soul is also going with you, but not fully yet awake. But God is actually communicating to your soul that which your spirit is experiencing, but it's coming through a dream at the moment, or a visionary type thing. Now, as you learn to tune into that, and you learn to be able to step into those realms when you need to go to a court or a mountain or a throne, and you begin to administrate government, it will be that you have learned, and you are learning, how to be in those places. And ultimately, you know, everything has to flow out of intimacy and flow out of the relational side of our engagement with God on the inside of us, and engaging with His presence there, so that we only have to do what we see the Father doing. And so we're not, oh no, I need to go here, or how do I do this? You know, I mean, I was a bit like you when I first started to engage these realms. You know, all these mountains that I'm supposed to be engaging in, and I'm on, and what am I supposed to do? And it felt like spinning plates and keeping them all going. It's like, how do I do this? And I'm like, you know, and then I discovered, really, actually, is I am a mountain. I am a place of authority, and I need to be in that position in the realms of heaven. So it's like who I am rules all the spheres of government that are under me. So I don't have to go onto seven mountains here and onto these three mountains over here or do this. It's who I am. And once I understand my identity and my position of governmental authority, I can administer those kingdom realms from my place of authority, and obviously engaging with the seven spirits of God and those things who are tutoring us for that position of government and bringing us into that place of government is all part of learning and engaging. And so that, you know, many of us are having forerunner experiences that are to almost like entice us to go deeper and to encourage us that there's more. But actually, when we become sons and we're operating in sonship, actually we'll know where to go, what to do, when to go, when to do this, when to do that, because we'll be operating in the fullness of government. And therefore, we can then manifest that government on the earth as it is in heaven. And at the moment, we're learning. You know, we're still being tutored. We're still being trained. You know, some of us are still operating in lordship. Some people have gone into kingship. You know, others are engaging in chancellorship. You know, there's different levels of governmental authority that we have depending on the level of yieldedness and transformation that's taken place. And some of these experiences that we were talking about earlier are really about some of the things that key us into another level of government, into another authority sphere. And so I look back and I can see some of the encounters that actually then took me to go into a different level. You know, engaging wisdom and learning the protocols of government. But all that stuff still has to come out of intimacy. If it doesn't come out of relationship, we can always get into a danger of doing rather than being. You know, I only do these things because I know this is who I am. I don't do these things looking for who I am and looking for my identity in them, because that will lead me on a wrong pathway. And so, you know, I can see that, you know, you're having experiences like this. They are preparing you for what's coming.
I love how you say that it's like a tutor, and you just clicked a light bulb in my head that the relationship will be more purposeful and directed me to have the intimacy with God than to rely on the dreams, because they are tutoring me and teaching me and showing me things. And you have made me so excited. It makes sense to just go one step beyond that. I love dreams and visions, but just to be more engaged in probably this dimension and bring that heaven and earth relationship together stronger is kind of what I feel like you're describing to me.
Yeah, because it goes from visions to visitation to habitation.
Yes, I love it.
You know, and so what you're experiencing now is a precursor to the visitation, in which you will be able to step into that and engage into that, and then to go beyond that into living in those dual realms and engaging in that, you know, as a lifestyle, as who we are. Because ultimately that's what the desire is, to be able to live in those realms and then to manifest that into the earth from that. So yeah, it's great. It's part of the journey, and
I swear you just opened two doors for me. It's just like going. So thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Mike,
yeah,
I keep having an experience. It's been several years that this goes on. When I close my eyes and I focus on just the Lord and being in the Spirit, I begin to see faces appear. And generally, the color is, it's like a two-tone kind of thing. Instead of like whites and blacks, it's reds and blacks. And these faces appear and then they fade away. And I might be in a time where I'll see five or six faces, sometimes only a couple. I've asked the Lord, you know, what this means. I've had it suggested that I'm seeing the cloud of witnesses. The faces generally, it's always been male, and they've always appeared to be older, like, you know, I guess kind of how you'd view some of the patriarchs, maybe.
Yeah.
Most of the faces are very pleasant and you feel comfortable around them. There's been a couple that are just weird, disfigured kind of things. Have you ever heard of that? Any insight on that?
Okay.
It's almost like I'm seeing them on the inside of my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Or my eyelids.
Yeah. And again, I think you're learning to look into a realm. You know, it's like that realm when you first begin to tune into it. Is it an encounter with what's going on in that realm? Is it something symbolic that you're being shown that will then open up revelation of that? And some of these things are, you know, are a little bit difficult to know sometimes, because it's like, okay, is this actually a real place that I'm visiting? Because, I mean, people have described things in the realms of what they would say is heaven as being pretty weird things, you know, and I'm thinking, is that actually really there? I've never seen it. Or actually, is it something that God is showing you in a way that you can relate to that will then engage you to actually pursue? And I think sometimes, you know, people sort of say to me, oh, I went down this corridor and I went left here and I did this and I went there and whatever. I said, okay, but what happened? You know, what was the point of it? What happened? What did it make you feel? What did you engage? What did it bring? And I think some of these things, you know, heaven is multiversed, and therefore it is designed for you to connect with in the way God has wired you and created you to be. So some people engage in, you know, in gardens, some people engage, you know, in houses and cities and things like that. I mean, it just seems that God chooses to engage in a particular way. Sometimes I think they're just, it's the symbolic nature of what he's revealing is the key, not where you are or whether it's an actual physical place, but actually what is the symbolism of this encounter? What does it mean? What is he showing me? What do I need to do with what he's showing me? So in this sense, it's like, okay, you're seeing people, there are lots of different faces that exist in the realm of the spirit. You know, they are the cloud of witnesses, absolutely. Yes, they are around us. And it's like, are you looking into the realm that's around you, which is a spiritual realm that is accessible to that cloud of witness that surround us and to the angelic beings that are surrounding us in that realm of the spirit? Are you stepping into the realm of heaven and therefore you're seeing something in the realm of heaven? All those things would be different. And if it's like, well, you're closing your eyes and you're beginning to focus, it's like, you know, maybe that is in this realm and these things are associated with this realm. Okay, that would be the cloud of witnesses in that instance. If you're stepping into the realms of heaven, there are a host of heavenly creatures, beings that are designed for us to engage with. And some of those appear as sort of in human form figures. For instance, on the ancient, I know Mike he's engaged with a number of hooded, cloaked ones that he would describe as like ancient ones that have given him insight and revelation. I think the key is to, when we're engaging in some of that, would be to really look at it from a perspective of, okay, God, is this something that you want me to pursue? Is this something that I need to engage in? And therefore, I need to communicate with what I'm seeing. So, you know, I need to ask them. And that would be my thing, is like, ask them. If you see people, what do you want? Who are you? You know, are you assigned to me? Are you here for a particular reason? You know, actually ask, you know, and that's the key in a lot of these things. Go back into it. If it's a cryptic or something hidden or something veiled or something that's sort of in darkness, a mystery, then it's being shown you so that it can come into the light and bring the light of the revelation of it that will do something in your life that matures you or moves you forward. And sometimes it's like we don't want to get caught up so much with what's actually happened or rather than what the reason for it is, you know. And if it's like, okay, there are a cloud of witnesses, what are they there for? You know, why are they coming so that you can see them? You know, are they coming because they are invested in your life, in your destiny? Therefore, or what do they want to tell you? You know, because an experience in itself without revelation that comes from the experience sort of leaves you a little bit empty, because, you know, an encounter is supposed to bring revelation so that we can move from that encounter and move into it and go beyond it. So I don't know is the answer in sense of I could tell you 100 things it could be. The key would be for you to specifically engage in it and ask, you know, even if it's like, well, by faith, I am going to speak to these faces I'm seeing and I'm going to ask them what they're doing, you know, and then if they share something or they respond, then look to engage with what it is. You know, because sometimes it's like God doesn't tell us deliberately because he wants us to engage. If we keep having to go from to God, why does he put the, you know, seven spirits of God? And some of it is, you know, there may well be a connection to the seven spirits of God, you know, particularly where there's colors and different things. It's like, okay, there may be the initiation with, okay, you're engaging with the spirit of wisdom who wants to, or the spirit of the Lord who wants to give you insight into something and open up that realm for you to engage the protocol of it, you know. Because we engage with the seven spirits of God a lot more than we know. It's not just, oh, well, I go and talk to them when they show up. Actually, they're invested by God with the authority to bring me to maturity one way or another, and they will do all sorts of things that we wouldn't necessarily attribute to them, but they're operating, they're at work, you know. And so some of the experiences that we have are some of them where they are looking to engage us in something that will mature us and move us on and help. And so it, you know, it may well be, you know, look to ask. You know, when I engage red like that, or as a red color, you know, I usually engage that with the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord very much often for me is there to help me discern what God is doing in any situation. Like, you know, I want to make sure I'm on the right side of what God's doing, not on the opposite side. Because sometimes he'll do things. My first engagement with the Spirit of the Lord, he showed me three different pictures of the same type of thing, but from a different perspective, and showed me that they were all God, and I needed to understand what it was. So it was like I encountered a river, and it was this beautiful river, this stream, and it was just like idyllic, and oh, wow, this is lovely. And then there was this absolutely amazing channeled river, like a flood, flash flood, that swept everything away, and the spirit of the Lord just said, both are God. You know, both are God. Sorry, I got some workmen doing some stuff on the house outside. You know, and this, I had the same thing with a fire, a lovely warming fire that I could see and warm and be close to, and then a raging forest fire, completely, seemingly out of control, but actually both God. So sometimes the things that we seem to attribute to the enemy can actually be things that God is doing in our life to transform us. And when I sort of minister to people, I'm really sensitive to seek from the Spirit of the Lord, is this something God is doing in this person's life, so I can help them cooperate with it and walk through it? Or actually, is it something that the enemy's doing that we need to then deal with so that you can come out of it? And I don't want to take people out of something that God's put them in, because he's using a circumstance to equip and to train, whatever. So a lot of it is, you know, is actually learning to discern. So you may well, as you engage, realize that some of this is just part of the process, that he wants you to enter into it in a deeper level and pursue it until you get an answer. And just keep asking for the answer, really.
Yeah, I've never asked these faces. I've never asked them who they are or anything, so I'm going to start there. The one thing I have tried to do is just keep them in my view, and that's when they kind of fade away. And that may be an effort of my flesh to keep them in my view, because, you know, you always want to see stuff. There may be a lot of spiritual perceiving that needs to go on there. So I'll ask next time I have that experience. I'll just out and out ask them and see where that goes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always a good idea.
I think that's what his name.
Okay. Has anyone got anything else?
Well, when you were talking about engaging the firestones, when I first, I kind of positioned myself to try and engage there. And in the beginning, I would count the number of stones and just kind of as if I would by faith, because I wasn't able to really. I'd never experienced that before, and so by faith, I would kind of go and position myself on the first and then the second stone and kind of count my way up, and then the Lord would be at the top, and I could see his arm kind of like beckoning me to come over and sit down with him, but I hadn't experienced a lot there in that place, but I continued to go. And I remember hearing in one of your videos where you were talking about Hebrew lettering like appearing on these steps, and I'd never experienced that. But as I continued to go, I began to see the steps a little bit more clearly, and was actually started having experiences on those stones where it was like almost like drop down inside, and then the lettering began to appear. But it wasn't there in the beginning, but as I continued to engage, like in some of the other places, things that weren't there initially, as I continued to walk those pathways, I entered into a deeper and deeper place.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a pattern, really. I mean, I've done exactly the same. I've gone back into the same place and have deeper and deeper revelation, particularly on the fire stones. My first encounter was the very first time I'd ever went into heaven, was there. I mean, it was a pretty intense experience because I never experienced anything before that. Yeah. It was amazing, like, wow. But it was very much an emotional experience. But I was feeling the sort of very nature of God, you know, his love, his joy, his peace. It was that sort of just engaging, becoming one with, joined with, just amazing. And, you know, when I went back and I started taking other people back there, I assumed that I was going to have the same thing. But actually, as you say, I went deeper. The next time it was just everything was about government. It was as I... You know, I stood and became one the first time. The second time, it was like I could see into at a deeper level. And it was like it was all about government, and it was all about the precepts and the ordinances and the wonders of God and the testimonies and the commandments and the statutes. And I'm like, and it was very much less cognitive and emotional, and very much just an overwhelming sense of amazement, awe, at the depth that each of these stones had, and the revelation of those stones and what it was supposed to bring in terms of our sonship and our position for government. And when I went back again, you know, I went back into it, and it's like I went into it, as you said, I went into it, and that was just my whole spirit was just immersed, baptized into each stone, if you like. It was just like I was in it, and my spirit absorbed the frequency and the fragrance and the color and the formula that was in it. I mean, there was just these letters and fragrances and frequencies and colors and just an explosion of amazing things that, again, my mind did not have an understanding of. Although when I got onto one stone, I was given a seal. This sort of seal thing, and I found out that it was a chancellor's seal, and the protocol of engaging chancellorship came out of that revelation, you know. And then I went, and whenever I get things like that, I always go back to wisdom, and I ask her, because she's there to teach me about the protocol of government. So I wanted to know, what is this seal? How do I use it? And so she then took me, she said, right, here's a staff, put the seal on the staff, and she took me through one of the doors that are on Wisdom's Heights and took me to the Satan's Trophy Room under the earth, and I used the seal on the staff to gain access into that place. And so it was all about sort of protocol of how to use the things that I'd received there in a governmental way. Next time I went, it was like there was another thing where, okay, what am I supposed to do with this seal? And it was like I had to put it around my neck on a sort of a chain thing, and then I was able to gain access to the 12 houses and the Chancellor's houses with this seal. And so it's been different things like that where, you know, the sort of revelation you get and the deeper you go into something, the levels that are there are just deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm sure, you know, when I feel called to go back there again, you know, there'll be another level to engage in, you know. And the thing is not to try and analyze these things or try and work them out. It's just to let your spirit resonate with them, to let your spirit absorb what it needs to absorb, to vibrate with the frequency it needs to vibrate. It's almost like you absorb those things into your spirit. And often we I think, try and understand or figure it out or work it out, or and we miss a lot of what's going on because we get in the way. And so I've become a lot less inquisitive in my soul, and a lot more I'm just going to go with the flow of this experience now, and I'm going then to make sure that I can then come out of that experience in the future, rather than trying to figure it out, know what it is, and then I've got it all worked out. You know, that's my soul wanting to know, and my spirit needs to experience, not know, but to experience and then release that experience so that actually cognitively I will become aware of what I need to become aware of. And some things, you know, God deliberately keeps my soul in darkness to keep it in the right place. And so then my soul needs with my spirit to pursue for the right reason, which is revelation, not just knowledge. You know, because my spirit wants revelation. Sometimes my soul just wants to know, because it wants to be in the know, and it wants therefore to be secure in the knowledge rather than trusting. And I have to learn that my soul needs to trust my spirit and God to then embrace the flow that comes from the inside and facilitate that flowing through me, through my body and outside. So there's just a lot of depth and deeper encounters, you know, which, you know, just face it, I mean, God is God. It's like, you know, how, you know, we're gonna spend a lot of engagement to get understanding of that. Yeah, so you know, we have to sort of go with it, you know, go with the flow of it, and just allow our spirit to guide and direct.
Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Yeah.
My name is Benji. I'm Rick's. I've been in the vaccine. Been listening for a while. I asked Rick today to see if I can add a little question to you.
Okay.
I had an experience years ago.
Yeah.
Roll closer so she can see you.
My experience was at one time I was outside a place. I go outside during summertime, and we have a beautiful site here that I my favorite place to worship the Lord. And my experience was as I was worshiping the Lord, I had my He brought me to a different place in the realm of the spirit, and as I saw myself standing, I all of a sudden I heard this stump, a foot that coming towards me. And as I was looked out, and I saw Jesus proceeding, he was holding a giant key. As he coming towards me, he handed me the key, and he said to me to open doors as many doors. And so as I received the key, all of a sudden I was in a different realm. And that realm, it was like a whole city, and I saw huge building. And in the building, it's like a giant building. And I enter into the building, and I heard different voices. And as I was walking in the aisle, I saw different rooms, and they're all locks. And I heard different voices, "Let us out, let us out." And I realized I have the key, and I begin to use the key and open all the doors. It's hundreds of doors, and people begin to come out, and all, and then we all run out from the building. And as we were going to we were outside, and they were all following me, and I saw this giant gate, and then I opened the gate and allowed these people to come out. And so that was the end of my vision. It was an open vision. It's just before that even happened, I saw the face of the Lord. Before Jesus appeared to me in my vision, I had looking up the sky, and all of a sudden I saw the face of the Lord, and in the clouds, the clouds are different form, and it began to form as a man, and I saw his face, and he began to smile at me, and then that's when he took me to this realm of where Jesus is, and gave me the key. So I often wonder about that, and I thought this is a opportunity for me to maybe ask you if you have any thoughts or insight thing about
that. Yeah, well, in an encounter like that, I mean, it's like a burning bush encounter, which is an encounter where God wants to change the course of what you're doing, because he encounters you in such a way that you're sort of wow. But I would encourage you to take those parts of that vision and to go back into them. It's like, don't just have it, well, that's a one-off thing. Meditate over them. So what is the key? Meditate around the key. And ask him to show you, okay, what is this key? It's a large key. Does that indicate this is a large call that God's got on my life? There were lots of doors. There were lots of things. So in a sense, the symbolism of it may relate to the dimension that God has for you and within your destiny to fulfill certain things. And so in each part, just seek for the revelation and meditate around it. You know, the doors, the gate, the different aspects of it. You know, it sounds very much that this is a call for you to set people free from the things that are holding them back, so that they can come into a dimension of God's kingdom that he is opening up for them. But for that to take place, you need to enter it yourself. So it's to pursue that revelation and the encounter and use what you've received as a doorway to go back, you know, and to take back and ask and seek and knock for the revelation that will come out of that encounter. You know, I mean, you know, I can interpret different things, but I tend not to go too deeply into them, because actually it's about you yourself hearing from God, and so learning to go back and get that picture. So, you know, if you obviously remember it really well, actually each part of it that you feel is significant, just go back into it and seek for the revelation of it and ask specific questions. You know, what does this mean? Is there a significance in this? What's the timing of this? What do I need to do to prepare for this? You've given me the key. How do I use that key? Is this key for now? Is this key for the future? Just keep asking questions. You know, keep seeking and going deeper into it so that actually what will come out of it will be the revelation of what you need to do now so that you're ready to do that. What does it mean? Is it relating to a church? Is it relating to a place? Is it a city? Is it a wider sphere? All those things will begin to get revealed as you begin to meditate and seek and ask the questions and allow your spirit to cultivate the desire for it. Because when you get a vision or you're given an encounter like that, you have to be willing, therefore, what is the cost? You know, when Moses had the burning bush, it was like, oh, wow, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. So there was a cost associated to it that then he had to be willing to submit and surrender to. And so, in a sense, the cost is usually, well, what is it going to take to get me to the place where I can outwork this and use this golden key? And then ask God to show you, is there anything you need to deal with in my life which is a hindrance for me using this key? You know, is there something that I need to step into that will prepare me for this? Just ask those sorts of questions, and you'll get the revelation that will come, and your own relationship with God will deepen in pursuing this, because you have to cultivate the desire that this brings within your own heart so that it becomes your desire. And when it becomes your desire to a such a degree that you'll do anything to fulfill and outwork that, then actually the cost will be, who cares? But you have to get it so that this is something that God has shown you, but actually are you willing to cultivate the desire for it so that it will begin to direct and shape you going forward? Because to me it sounds like a pretty serious encounter that's a life-changing directional thing. Therefore, you have to be willing to embrace that to, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes and whatever it costs to see this outworked in my life. You know, and you do that by meditating around it and cultivating the desire. You know, if I don't know where you are in your own personal walk with engaging God, whether this is something out of the ordinary or something you can do regularly, but, you know, I take that stuff around the Ark of the Presence of God in heaven in the tabernacle, and I look into it there, and I begin to let it revolve around his presence there, and I begin to see, okay, you know, what is the dimension that relates to the four faces of God in this, and is there a prophetic dimension, is there an apostolic, is there a kingly dimension, is there a priestly function in this, and I sort of allow all that to begin to create in me the desire with a deeper understanding of it so I can then pursue it. So that would be my encouragement. You know, God wouldn't just give you this as a one-off and just leave it. Make sure you go back and seek for the revelation that, you know, it will most definitely have. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. All right. Okay, well, this...